परमः मद्भक्तः सङ्गवर्जितः मत्कर्म कृन्मत्परमः मद्भक्तः सङ्गवर्जितः निर्वैरः सर्वभूतेषु निर्वैरः सर्वभूतेषु यस्स मामेति पाण्डव। So Krishna is now defining what is Ananya Bhakti. In fact, Ananya Bhakti alone is Bhakti. Other Bhaktis are just maybe like transactions with the Lord. As we already explained, Chaturvidha Bhajante Maam Jana Sukritin Arjuna Artho Jignyasu Arthati Jnani Cha Paradarshabha. We already saw that thing earlier. Because people normally make all these transaction contracts with the Lord. I will break 100 coconuts if you do this and that. These are all very common. So, these are all, people think these are all like bhakti. But the Lord allows a person to practice all these because at least initially, let that be there. Better than being an atheist, he is being a bhakta at least for selfish reasons. The God allows that. But really speaking, they are not bhakti at all. Then what is bhakti? It should fulfill the following conditions. It's actually a very, very important shloka. What is bhakti? If anyone asks, this is the answer we should give. If these conditions are there, then he is a bhakta. Otherwise, he cannot be called a bhakta. Krishna is all very categorical in all this. And what are the conditions he gives? Mat karma krite. One who dedicates all actions to me. Mat karma krite. Ishwararpana buddhya yaha karma karoti. Anybody who does karma with that attitude that I am offering all to this Lord, that is Ishwara prityartham karma karomi. That should be the sankalpa, nothing else. I don't bother how much reward comes out of that at all. This is otherwise called karma yoga. Remember, karma yoga and bhakti yoga, they contain the same essential principle only. Only the name is different. In the third chapter, actually in the 30th shloka, Krishna said, Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasyam adhyatma chetasa. So, nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasvam vigatajvaraha. That's what he told Arjuna. Same idea is conveyed here also. Do all actions for Ishwara Preeti, as an offering to the Lord, not for anyone else's Preeti, not for pleasing anyone, but to please only the Lord. Okay, then if I do not have any worldly result in view, then for what purpose I should work at all? Because I am living in a practical world. If I should not have any worldly result at all in my view, why should I work? What purpose is there for me to work? Because some motivation must be there. That is the modern principle, right? For anything, we need to be motivated. Krishna says, Mat paramaha. The motivation must be moksha only. I want to reach the Lord. I want to reach Ishwara. That must be the motivation. Paramaha, that is the ultimate goal. Okay, how can I keep you, the Lord, as ultimate goal? Because really, I get happiness from the objects of the world. I am in this world. I get happiness out of the objects of this world. How can I have a desire for you? Krishna says, Mat bhaktaha. Be my devotee. Love me. Seek out for me. That means understand that the real source of happiness is not in anything else. It is in the Lord only. Then you will be motivated to reach the Lord. Now, why are you motivated to get money? Because you think that money is a source of happiness. That is our conclusion. Once I know that Lord alone is the source of Ananda, naturally, I will be devoted to the Lord only. I will have a motive to attain the Lord. That alone will motivate me. So, Mad Bhaktaha Bhava, which requires Viveka and Vairagya. We went through all these discussions earlier, that other things cannot give me joy All other worldly things cannot give me permanent joy. Lord alone can give me that peace of mind, that joy. So once this knowledge is there, then bhakti will automatically come to the Lord. That alone we call it bhakti. Then sangha varjitaha, free from all attachments, sangha, not free from love, but free from expectations. Love does not expect anything from anyone. But attachment expects everything from that other person. That is the problem we have. We are always confused between love and attachment. We can have love to anybody. It is unconditional. The moment we have attachment, then there is a problem. That the moment that is gone, then it is going to give me sorrow. Detachment is very difficult. But when it comes to love being unconditional, there is nothing like attachment and detachment. It is love, period. So whenever the husband expects anything from his wife, the problem is what? Mostly is because of attachment. In love, there is no expectation at all. Sangha Varjitaha. Long, long ago, there used to be a cartoon in Times of India. Love is. Every day there will be a small piece. Love is. That is all. So many things in practical life. How that will be portrayed as love. It's a beautiful cartoon. I used to have a collection of that long ago. So, Sangha Varjitaha, free from attachment. And Sarva Bhuteshu Nirvairaha. This is very, very important thing. One should not have hatred towards anyone. Sarva Bhuteshu Nirvairaha. Vaira is hatred. This is Nirvairaha, no hostile attitude. Because when there is hatred, then Vishwarupa Darshanam itself is not possible. So, Vishwarupa Darshanam itself requires freedom from hatred. Nirguna Brahma Darshanam definitely requires freedom from hatred. So, Sarva Bhuteshu Nirvairaha. So, don't be attached. At the same time, don't hate anyone also. So, neither hatred nor attachment should be there. If you fulfill all these factors, then you are an Ananya Bhaktaha. If you are an Ananya Bhaktaha, Saha Mam Yeti Pandava. Pandava means here Arjuna. Certainly that person will attain me. Mam Yeti. Mame Vaishyasi. We are going to see those shlokas. So discover oneness with me. Of course, we have to supply here by getting Chitta Shuddhi, then Guru Prapti, Jnana Prapti, all those things are needed for getting that knowledge, the self-knowledge. By getting a proper guru, by going through Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, by discovering then Aham Brahmasmi, all those steps are needed. He will become then one with me, O Pandava, O Arjuna. So, this is summing up of not only the 11th chapter, this is the essence of the entire Madhyama Shatka. With this chapter, this Madhyama Shatka, actually this is like almost a conclusion. 7th to 12th chapters, that is the Madhyama Shatka, the middle Shatka. What is the essence? If somebody asks, this is the shloka. This is the essence of the shloka. So, Sutra Bhuta Shlokaha, we call it Sutra Bhuta Shlokaha, Sankshepa Shlokaha, or of the entire Madhyama Shatka is this shloka. With this, Krishna concludes the 11th chapter. Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su Upanishatsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Sri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Vishwarupa Darshana Yogo Nama Ekadashodhyayaha. So the 11th chapter is concluded, titled Vishwarupa Darshana Yoga. So before we go to the 12th chapter, the Bhakti Yoga, let us just see a brief summary of the 11th chapter, Vishwarupa Darshana Yoga. So, in the first four shlokas, we get an introduction to this chapter where Arjuna sums up the teaching of the previous chapters. So, there was already a summary of the previous chapters. Arjuna points out in the first few chapters, up to the sixth chapter, the nature of Jiva was talked about. That's what Arjuna says in the first six chapters. And from 7th to the 10th chapters, the nature of Ishvara was talked about. And in these four chapters, 7 to 10, Ishvara was defined as what? As Jagat Karanam, the cause of the universe. And since Ishvara is the cause of the universe, Ishvara alone appears as everything in this universe. This was the essence of shlokas 7 to 10. This chapter 7 to 10. So, Ishwaraha Jagat Karanam Tasmat Ishwaraha Eva Sarvam. That was the essence. And so, any vibhuti or any glory that is experienced anywhere belongs to the Lord only. And then on Arjuna makes a request, O Krishna, I am able to understand that everything is Lord's manifestation only. And so, according to your teaching, the whole world must be a sacred body of the Lord, the divine manifestation of the Lord. But even though I understand this fact, in my day-to-day behavior, I don't find any divinity at all, like all of us. I am not able to see this fact, appreciate this fact during my experience of the practical world. And so, I would like to have your Vishwarupa Darshanam. That was Arjuna's wish. And then from the 5th to the 8th shlokas, Krishna accepts Arjuna's request and gives him a Divya Chakshuhu, a divine eye, for the sake of seeing the Vishwarupa. And as was said, Divya Chakshuhu does not mean any special instrument. This we made it very clear. It only means a pure mind which is not sullied by raga and dvesha, which will not divide the world into my yours and, you know, others. It won't make those divisions at all. Then with the blessings of the Lord and with the help of the Divya Chakshuhu, Arjuna sees this Vishwarupa. And first Sanjaya describes the Vishwarupa from shloka 9 to shloka 14. Sanjaya's Vishwarupa Varnana. And then on, Arjuna begins to experience the Vishwarupa, and then his mind goes through various feelings. And the first response of Arjuna is Vishmayaha. Vishmayaha means wonder. He looks at the Vishwarupa and he is wonderstruck. And this is indicated from shloka 15 to shloka 22. Arjuna expressing wonder, seeing the Vishwarupa. Brilliant light, varieties of ornaments, colors, nana vidani, nana varnakriti nicha. So all those things we saw. And we should remember, in these shlokas, sometimes it looks that Vishwarupa as a personal god. It looks like that. But really speaking, it is not a person at all. It is the very cosmos seen as the Lord. Because when Arjuna says varieties of ornaments, varieties of kriyatam and all that, it looks as though that Arjuna saw a personal god. But it is not so. Ornament indicates all beautiful things in creation. Then from 23rd to the 30th shloka, Arjuna's attention shifts from his entire body to the mouth of the Lord, which represents the time principle, Kala Tattvam. And that too, not the creative Kala Tattvam that he saw, but it is the destructive Kala Tattvam he saw. And that is why Arjuna saw blazing fire in the mouth of the Lord, indicating destroying everything. The fire does not leave anything. It can burn down everything. That is the nature of fire. Similarly, Kala also, time, does not leave anything. Whether it is good or bad, it is sacred, it is secular, it may be a rakshasa or it can be a sannyasi, it doesn't matter. Everything is wiped out by time. And Arjuna saw even Bhishma and Drona, giants of the Kuru family, even they were entering the mouth of the Lord, the time principle. And seeing this, Arjuna gets terribly frightened. So from Vishmaya, wonder, now to fear. This is the second emotional feeling of Arjuna, bhayam. Or fear. Then 31 to 34 shlokas, Arjuna asks Krishna regarding this terrible form, because Arjuna is confused that we have heard that Lord is compassionate person, saves everyone, is this Arthatrana Parayanaha, all those things we have heard about the Lord, that is the picture of the Lord we all have. How is it that I am seeing such a terrible Lord? That was Arjuna's question. Then Krishna clarifies and says, I am a smiling God as a Srishtikartha and Stitikartha. But as a Samharakartha, I have to take this terrible form also. and so both forms are my forms only. And if you are a true Bhakta, you have to accept both of them. You cannot say, I like the Srishtikarta, but not the Layakarta. You cannot say that. If you are a true devotee, you have to accept all aspects of me. Then after Krishna's consolation, Arjuna develops bhakti and accepts Lord as he is, both in his fierce form and in his wonderful form. So this is the third stage. So from 35th to the 45th shloka, Arjuna's devotion to Krishna, acceptance of Krishna is indicated. And then on from 46th to the 55th shloka is the conclusion of this chapter, where Arjuna wants Krishna to withdraw his Vishwarupam because of his continuing fear. Bhakti was there, but still fear was predominant. Therefore, he requests Krishna to withdraw. And Krishna withdraws the Vishwarupam and consoles Arjuna. After the withdrawal and consolation of Arjuna, Krishna talks about the glory of bhakti. So it is because of bhakti that Arjuna could have very rare Vishwarupa Darshanam. Not everybody can have. Because of Arjuna's devotion, he got the Vishwarupa Darshanam. And concluding this, Krishna defines bhakti. What is the lakshanam of bhakti? He says, in this important, the last shloka, mat karma krin mat paramaha mat bhaktaha sangavarjitaha nirvairaha sarvabhuteshu yaha samameti pandava. Do all action as dedication to the Lord and never bother about the phalam. The same message. Phala vishaye sangavarjitaha, but karma vishaye sangavarjitaha na. Karma vishaye, put all your heart and soul in the action, because it is meant for the Lord, because you are doing the action for offering to the Lord. So show interest in karma, but don't have any concern for the phalam, the result. And if I have no result, interest in the phalam, then what should I be interested in? And Krishna says, mat paramaha, let your motive be spiritual upliftment. So go after the spiritual goal of gaining moksha. That should be the motive. That must be intense in doing any karma. And above all, Krishna prescribes another important thing here. He says, nirvairaha sarvabhuteshu. One should not have any hatred or hostile attitude towards any being. Sarvabhuteshu. Sarvabhuteshu includes even towards those people who might harm us. So all good and evil people, have no vairam, no attitude of hostility towards any of them. So, advaishta sarva bhutana, he already said. So, we've seen actually in the next chapter, we have not done it, yes. So, we are going to see it. So, the one who shows such a bhakti, saha mam yeti, he will have Vishwarupa darshanam. And later, he will have nirguna jnanam also. That has not come yet, because we are still in the Vishwarupa darshana yoga. So, it does not come yet. And he will attain me finally. With this definition of bhakti, Krishna concludes the 11th chapter. And this chapter is aptly titled as Vishwarupa Darshana Yoga, because the main theme here is Vishwarupa Darshanam or Virat Darshanam.